This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Okay, we're ready. Hello, hello. You're here live with Dr. Jeff Werber, your host for the next 7 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vet with Dr. Jeff. Here for you, here for your pets. Answer any questions you may have. All those things you're afraid to talk to a veterinarian about. Those are exactly what we want to talk about today. And trust me, there's no question that you have or don't have that has not already been asked somewhere, or people are just dying to know. So new things happening all the time. So this is great. As you may have noticed, I'm in a different venue. I am here in Palm Springs, California, taking advantage of the holiday weekend. Yes, it's hot. If I look a little tanner, don't adjust your screens, your color. It's just me. And this is nothing. When I think of the days when we used to use, for those of you, I mean, I'm sort of dating myself, but remember what reflectors were? Mark, remember what reflectors are? We used to sit there putting up with the reflectors and the baby oil and who knows, and the tea, just anything we could do to get tan. And boy, are we idiots. What we've learned so far, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, we're here to discuss anything you want to talk about. I see a lot of trying to wave to a lot of our visitors and my Instagram live. So please ask some questions. So we use baby oil. Yes, I know. Isn't that like crazy? Now, I mean, they look at me funny because I only use like a sunblock with 15. And now they're putting 30s and 50s and 60s. It's like, well, why be sun at all? If you're going to put a 60 on, God, I don't know how it works, but I know it's, you know, we're a little nuts. But you know what? At least we think it looked good. Like, you know, people say, oh my God, you look so good. You have a nice tan, right? So maybe it did look good. Who knows? Anyway, let's see. Any questions asked? And so here's how you get a hold of me. Very easy. If you're joining me here on Pet Life Radio, you can go into Pet Life, but then you're already here at PetLifeRadio.com, obviously. So you go, click on the shows, you're here with Dr. Jeff. Just there's a Zoom link left here by Mark, our producer. Just click on the link. We can join us here live. Or 877-385-8882. Once again, 877-385-8882. That is a toll-free number you can get to us. And that'll do it as well. So either way, we'd love to hear from you. And any questions that you have, good morning, good morning. I'm trying to wave to everybody. Tell me how your week's been. Tell me about your pets. Tell me about any issues you may be having. That's exactly what I want to hear from you guys. Ah, is there a correlation between Apoquil and cancer? What is it to the long term use? So, you know, it's interesting. The longer you use anything, the more likely that if your dog has the gene for a particular cancer, it's going to have it. And my feeling is that even if you didn't use it, and you wait long enough, there are many dogs with cancer that have no association with any particular drug. So it's something that it's very personal. I have not heard anything per se about Apoquil. I've been using Apoquil for a long time. Actually, I prefer Cytopoint. They work a little differently. If you want to get into a little science, we could do that. Just to understand the differences, because sometimes people say Apoquil work better than Cytopoint. And sometimes if it's really bad, we have to use both. So I'll try to, you know, just give you a quick, simple explanation of the, you know, we knew that the canine allergy was not mediated by histamine. So that we knew. So to give a dog an antihistamine for the purposes of anti-allergy, it's not going to be effective. I like using Benadryl sometimes, not for the antihistaminic effect, because histamine is not a role. Maybe a 10% role, maybe, because of the sedative effect. That's why when I've heard of these other doctors recommending Zyrtec and Claritin and all the non-drowsy, then you're really, the only thing we had to work with is the fact that, you know, the chlorpheniramine and the Benadryl, the diphenhydramine, they would cause a little bit of a sedation. And that's what was helping, I think, the pets a little bit. But anyway, I had nothing to do with it. I got to be a spokesperson for the company, but I had nothing to do with the science. And that is determining and discovering one of the culprits, the, if you will, the histamine of dog allergy. And that's called interleukin-31, IL-31 for short. And the way IL-31 worked was that it would be released from what's called the T helper cell, travel to the skin, and then with the help of these two other enzymes, one is called Janus kinase 1, Janus kinase 3, for short, we call them JAK1, JAK3, and that's what would cause all the irritation, the redness, the itching, etc. So what Apoquil does, it doesn't touch IL-31, interleukin-31. It's still released, still travels to the skin, but it does inhibit Jack 1 and Jack 3. Now, Jack 1 and Jack 3 play a role with some other mediators as well. So you're not getting just the IL-31 effect. You're also getting some of the others. Now, let's go to cytopoint. Cytopoint is immunotherapy. It is just specific to interleukin-31, and it is really effective. I like it better. It lasts longer. And since most of the time, interleukin-31 is the major role player of the allergy, if you will, it is the histamine of a dog, then it's so effective. The problem is, if you have a dog that's extremely allergic and has other mediators also involved that also need JAK1 and JAK3, then you're better off with the Apoquil. So the Apoquil, you got to use every day. It's got a short life in the system, 20 hours, which means that there are going to be 4 hours that it's not working. So, you know, that's why we now tell people that if you do use Apoquil, which I do like, you want to do it not in the morning, do it in the evening. Because 20 hours, say after 8 p.m., is 4 o'clock, right, in the afternoon the next day. There's a lot of going on. But if you do it in the morning at 8 o'clock, 8 a.m., then when does it wear off? By 4 a.m. What are most of us doing at 4 a.m.? We're still sleeping. So the dog is up, no distraction, not eating, not getting for a walk. What's he going to do? He's going to scratch. But if you give it to him in the afternoon, by 4 in the afternoon, kids are coming home and there's commotion in the house, maybe for a walk, maybe dinner time. So anyway, you get it. So we recommend if you're going to use Apoquil, do it in the evening. But as far as Cancer Link, I have not heard. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen. I just, you know, for me, it wasn't enough in the science that it's being published. There's some really great questions. So I'm going to go back a little bit to one that I liked. Slow down. You're killing me. All right. There was one. Okay. Correlation of Apoquil loose. And there was another one that I liked about Dewclaw. That's it. Is it a bad idea to remove them? Should you remove? Great question. And this is one of those situations that you can't teach an old dog new trick. I, of course, was the old dog. So what we always typically did is when dogs were little puppies, we would remove their dew claws. And I'm about to do it on front dew claws. Now, first of all, let's get a little anatomy here. Usually their hind dew claws are not jointed, disjointed. They're literally flopping things. Those, yes, I remove. Those are an accident waiting to happen. If they're jointed, then you have to talk, you know, there's some discussion. Certain breeds, Great Pyrenees, for example, they're known for their double hind dew claws. Those you leave alone, all right? Unless there was a traumatic issue, those we do not like to touch. Now, let's go to the front dew claws. So we thought they were useless. Their thumbs, they're way up there. So one of my younger associates who taught the old guy something, as I'm about to recommend removing these hind, she said, what are you doing? I'm saying, I'm removing these dew claws. She goes, no, you don't touch those. I go, of course we do. We've done it all the time. We've done it for years. She goes, no. She shows me a video of, there was a lecturer, I think he was on faculty at University of Florida Vet School. He was working with racing dogs and the agility dogs, and he did slow-mo photography of dogs at work and at play, all right? When they jump, their feet will extend so much that that little thumb, that dew claw, actually provides stability to the joint. It actually touches the ground and works. And it prevents the carpus, the wrist, from rotating back and forth, ultimately preventing some wrist injury. And I was amazed. So the new Jeff does not remove them unless, of course, A, they're disjointed, where they can't do that because they don't work, or B, there was some major trauma to them. We recommend leaving them alone, even for the hunting, especially for the hunting dogs and the working dogs. We say, oh my God, they're going to get caught on things. They're going to rip off. They usually don't. Now, hind dew claws, and this is where I will argue, and there are some doctors that I've spoken to that say, no, you never remove them. 100% disagree because they serve no function. They are an accident waiting to happen. And in my opinion, I know, will I anesthetize a dog just for them? No. But with the next dentistry, the next mass removal, if they are floppy, disjointed, yes, I recommend removing them because I've seen too many that get torn off, dogs that are running and playing, and they're just sitting waiting to be torn. So anyway, my opinion. All right, now let's go to, so we did the Dewclaw. What can dogs eat a little of and not eat for Memorial Day holiday? Great question. So hopefully a lot of us, myself included, will be barbecuing. We want to avoid anything fatty, anything that's highly seasoned, which unfortunately it means most of the meats and the chicken wings and other things, stuff you're going to barbecue, the hot dogs. But if there's no seasoning, you just put the hamburger meat, lean hamburger meat on the barbecue and you want to give them a little piece, that's okay. Fatty foods, nuts, avoid. Raisins, of course, avoid. Raisins and grapes. Now, here's one that people don't realize is so potentially dangerous, probably one of the most dangerous things, and that is corn cobs. you know, sometimes we cut those corns into halves or thirds, right? That is the perfect size for a dog to swallow. And then, and I'm not talking about with the corn on it. Corn itself is great, but unless, of course, they're allergic to it. But you definitely want to be really, really, really careful about the cob. So when you throw it away, you have to throw it away someplace where they kids have no access to it. Why? They will try to eat it, and those things will get lodged in the intestine, I'd say close to 95% of the time, if not 100%. It's a surgery. It is very dangerous. So avoid the corn cobs. And in general, as with any time we barbecue, again, stay away from the season, stay away from the fatty foods, the nuts, the oils, the grapes, the corn cobs, but also don't feed them from straight from the barbecue. You know, give them, if you want to make something, you feel sorry for them, take a little bit of the hamburger, cut it up, you know, put it and give it to them in their bowl or something. So you prevent the dog from wanting to like drooling on all your guests, you know, thighs. When they are eating and the dog puts their head on their chest and looking for some, you know, that happens all the time. Now, is avocado bad for your dogs? I keep hearing different answers. So the answers are yes and no. That's why you're hearing different answers. In moderation, small amounts of, I mean, think that's why, when the food Avoderm came out, I said, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? You're advertising eating avocados. Avocados are very fatty. You have to be careful for the pit because, again, that's not getting digested. That's getting stuck somewhere. And they're not smart enough to know to not eat the pit. But because of the fatty food, it's like any fatty food. A little bit is fine. A little teeny spoonful of peanut butter to help take the pills, that's fine. A couple of peanuts, mac and cheese, that's fine. But if they get into a bunch, then we're looking at pancreatitis. So my answer is that. If you want to give them a little taste of some of the avocado, not a problem. But don't start giving them avocados. If you have an avocado tree in the backyard, I would be really careful. I'd put a fence around it. I'd get rid of the tree. I'd make sure you're there to pick out the avocados. Because I've seen many a sick dog from eating too many avocados. But generally, it's okay as long as you don't overdo it. The youngest a dog should be to neuter or spay, different for small and large dogs. As always, Vicky Eloise, great questions. She has great questions. She might be in the dog business, dog world, for knowing so many things. But anyway, it depends who you ask and when. We always used to say, let's separate neuter and spay, okay? Because they're a little different. There is a statistic that female dogs spayed prior to the first heat virtually eliminate the threat of breast cancer, mammary cancer later on in life. So we used to always recommend 6 months just before the first heat. As soon as the adult teeth come in, as soon as you know which teeth should be extracted because they're deciduous, they didn't come out on their own, then it's okay to spay. Then other studies came out. There may be some links to dogs as they get older that have urinary incontinence. And the one that for me, and that's small breeds too. Now, the large breed, here is what I kind of stand for. If you let a dog have her first heat, but spay her before her second, you still get about an 88 to 90% reduction in the incidence of breast cancer, mammary cancer. Therefore, I like to wait. Why? There was a study that came out several years ago. They were studying aging in Rottweilers. We've talked about this before. And there was a 65% greater incidence in long bone cancer in those dogs that were pre-puberty neutered, males, and in females, a 35% increase in those that were pre-puberty spayed. So there's obviously some link between the sex hormones and some bone protection that later in life will protect that bone from cancer. So with male large breeds, I wait at least a year, giants sometimes a year and a half, even two. Why? There's also for the other reasons that we neuter, which are mostly behavioral, and of course, later on, perianal adenomas, which is a growth around the anus, a link to testosterone, obviously testicular cancer, et cetera. Those, they don't happen till later on. So there's, unless you have a really obnoxious dog who's humping everything that's moving, all right, or attacking every dog at the dog park because he's intact, and you don't want to stop taking him to the dog park. But if you really want to, those you might want to neuter a little bit earlier, but still not earlier than a year, in my opinion. Now, females, there's less incidence. There's only, interestingly, there was a study recently that came out that in almost every cancer that's intact, males and females seem to have higher incidence than neutered or spayed. However, there is one breed that's an exception. The studies are still going on, and there are many enthusiasts of this particular breed that now say, we will never spay or neuter. That's the golden retriever. When they looked at the same parameters in Labrador retrievers, they didn't fall through. Totally different. So I don't know what it is, but there are a lot of golden enthusiasts that now are recommending not neutering or spaying at all. Now, small breeds, obviously don't have much of a threat of bone cancer. If you want to do them a little later, you know, I wait till maybe 9 or 10 months. Now, the only exception is, and this is where I was at a seminar last year, and it was about dentistry. And one of the things that are recommended now, as far as occlusion, if a dog has to retain baby teeth, deciduous teeth, they should be actually extracted as soon as they erupt, as soon as the adult erupts, and the baby hasn't fallen out. As soon as you see double teeth, that's the time to take them out. Why? Because the longer you wait, if you want to wait till 6 months or 7 months or a year for the spay or neuter, then that tooth, that adult tooth that was affected by the presence of that baby tooth, the deciduous tooth, is not going to move and spread out the way as it's supposed to, is if it would have had you taken out that baby tooth right away. So even though we don't like to anesthetize them twice, I'm torn on those. If I have a deciduous teeth, I'm now recommending get that tooth out right away. If they really want to wait, which I would encourage, we can do, you know, the deciduous tooth anesthesia can be done very quickly, and don't do the spay neuter then. It really becomes a personal choice at that point. I will do my best to educate both ways. And if they still want to have for a small breed, and that's usually who gets the deciduous teeth anyway, are the small breeds, then we can spay neuter as early as they want. Neutering is easier because there's no other, you know, issue with the incontinence, but the spaying, it's a choice you have to make. Do some homework, do some more reading. But one thing I do know, we don't want to wait and keep that baby tooth in that long before removing it, or else it will affect the adult tooth. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Don't go away. I have some more questions here I want to get to, but we have to get a word from our sponsors. And so we'll be back in just a few minutes on Pet Life Radio. And here on Instagram, I'll hang with you.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion. Because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
All right, we're back. So question came up during the break that I'd like to share because I don't know the answer. So I've heard that oatmeal baths actually cause itching. What are your thoughts? I have not heard that. Again, I've not seen a study that would support that. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. This means I haven't seen it. So, I know it's interesting because so many shampoos on the market, somehow, somewhere, someone got this idea that oatmeal is good for skin. And that there are so many oatmeal baths out there. Now, does it cause more itching? Let's put it this way. If it did, and it's been on the market for so many years, I think it would have raised enough questions that someone would have done a little research study on this. And that, to my knowledge, hasn't happened. You know, it's funny. There's a lot of data we call empirical data. In the science world, in the veterinary world, in the medical world, that doesn't always fly with us. What it does, it will support the notion enough to have somebody study it. And let's get some science. Let's get some real answers. There are so many things you hear out there that are like, you know, old wives' tales. You just don't know. The veterinary world, like the medical world, will reject many of those, if not most, unless there's some real data to support it. So I haven't heard, but if you could find it, send it my way. Probiotics for dogs. So, you know, this is also, that's a great question. There has been a perfect example, by the way. The science has not really supported it yet, but the empirical data is overwhelming that, yes, there are benefits. Now, they are often used differently. Some doctors, some veterinarians, will say, if you have an imbalance, a gut imbalance, for some whatever reason that this dog ate something that we would call dietary indiscretion, stress, anxiety, and has is that imbalance, that diarrhea, then they recommend probiotics. Then there are those, myself included, who say, you know what, why wait? There's no downside. No downside. Why not just keep them on a probiotic all the time and see if we can always maintain that balance? And there are a number of companies out there that have product. I had My Daily Canine Care, which was a full of probiotics, Mutt Gut, full of probiotics, also prebiotics and postbiotics. So there are some products out there that really seem to want to maintain the nutritional, the balance, the gut flora balance to even prevent the diarrhea from happening, not just treat them. But what they are meant to do is reestablish, get rid of the good flora, the healthy bacteria, and get rid of the bad bacteria. And a lot of times when there is some sort of insult, they lose both. And we, by replenishing the good bacteria, then that is what helps rebalance the natural gut. So between all the bacteria. So I am a big fan. I know there are some vets that think they're worthless. I have had clients, many clients on probiotics. It's one of the things I often recommend before going to the drugs, is the adding the probiotics, doing, as I said, the fibers. And if that doesn't work, we can do Flagyl and then go from there, Isulfidine. But I am a fan of probiotics. Is it true that dogs exercise? That, yes. Okay. The staying in good shape. And look, this is no different than people. I mean, you know, I look at some of my colleagues, some of my classmates. I said, we just had our 50th high school reunion in September. And, you know, I hate to say it, there are a lot of my classmates that were not in such good shape. I'm not going to mention any names, but it is what it is. And now, am I going to outlive them? I have no idea. But I think most can agree that if you stay lean, if you stay active, you avoid all the fatty foods, you know, my cholesterol is good. I have zero calcium score in my heart. I mean, it's the best I can do. I mean, there's the poop happens. Something's going to happen. It could happen. You know, cancers come up out of nowhere in people that were very healthy. But as far as the things that we can control, I would say, yes, exercise is key to maintaining a good health. There's no promises whether it's going to increase longevity, but at least we can do our best. You can't expect anything to change if you don't change your own habits. Let's put it that way. And back to the cancer and the stress. So yeah, there that could be a link. But then the question is, where is the stress if an animal is not well behaved? Who's stressed? No, it stresses us as pet parents. Does it stress the dog? Maybe not, unless of course they get yelled at all the time. So and punished all the time. So. If that's the case, and there may be a link to increased stress, the stress goes up, cortisol levels, right? So then you have the immunosuppression. As the cortisol goes up, the steroids in the body goes up, the immunity goes down. So yes, is there an indirect possible relationship? Absolutely. So yeah, if you can avoid stress, then hopefully that will keep our immune system healthy. And that's why, you know, I get lucky because I'm doing what I love to do every day. That doesn't work. So I'm not stressed. I mean, sir. Yeah, sometimes I get stressed. Sometimes my clients stress me out. None of you, of course. But no, it stresses. It does say it can be a killer. All right, hold on. A little more waving here as I'm looking for more questions. Katie Pooh, my dog refused a meal and said a blow posture. We'll try to put her rear down, but it pops back up. Yes. And that is a position that when dogs have gas, they will sometimes do that. Well, butt flies up, you know, either throw the butt back up in the air. It might, by changing position, remember, gas is always going to go to the top. So as it's coming through, if it comes to the top, then getting that butt up there, that might, you know, push the gas outward. Yes, I've seen it. Unfortunately, I've never been able to ask a dog, why are you doing that? And get a straight answer. So, but it seems to make sense. And I agree. I agree with you. I think they do that for that reason. Let's see. Hold on. Another one here. Some people believe shaving their dog makes it less hot. I believe it needs a coat for cancer. Okay. So should we shave our dog down for the summer? And the answer is no. So there, of course, there are exceptions. If the dog has a severe dermatitis, then yes. If the coat is so matted, it is no longer functioning as it is supposed to, then yes. Now, what is that coat? Think about this. A dog's coat is like a thermos. When you put hot coffee in a thermos, it stays hot. If you put ice cold beverage in a thermos, it stays cold. That thermos maintains the heat, which whatever it is, that is a dog's coat. When the dog during the hot summer months. It protects the dog from that heat, but in the cold, it also protects the dog from the cold, but it has to be a healthy coat. So the recommendation to shave a dog down because you think it's hot is not a good idea. Now, let's talk at another point that I think is being made, and that is if you shave a dog down, not only have they lost the ability to regulate body temperature, they've also now lost protection from the sun. Can dogs get sunburned? Yes, they can. Look at white dogs. Look at cats on their ear tips and their noses, the nasal plantum. They get skin cancer a lot. So it's very important that unless there is a medical reason to shave your dog down, don't do it. However, should you increase your brushing and your grooming to make sure the coat stays healthy? Absolutely. I hope that answered that question. 24 hours. No, I think 24 hours is not a concern for me. If a dog is straining and goes a couple of days, if it's a cat and is going to litter box and just starts vocalizing and sitting there and trying to move and circle around and it looks like it's trying to poop, nothing coming out, then that can be obstipation. So yes, that would be a concern. But 24 hours, I've had dogs that have gone, 24. Yeah, and a once-a-day poop is fine too. And if they happen to skip that day, who knows? Maybe they ate something that was more efficient. It didn't have as much waste. So I wouldn't be too worried. If it goes much longer than that, like by 3 days, for sure, it would be worth a check. All right. So I think, I'm getting some joiners here. Late. Love to have you. I'm trying to wave to everybody. So anyway, I know that's all we have time for today. Plus, I'm heading back to LA. I got a couple of things to do there. I hope I answered most of your questions. If not, you can always reach me here on Instagram. And if you're not, you're probably following me if you're here, but tell your friends to follow me. And especially the dog, if they're animal people, let them know. I hope that, a lot of people told me they've tuned out to my show quite accidentally and they said they learned a lot. And that's kind of my goal, to make you better at what you do. And that's the best thing I can do as a veterinarian is help you improve the lives of your pets. And then I win because then the lives of my patients are improved. And here at Pet Life Radio, you can always get me at drjeff@petliferadio.com. And guys, I have not had a visit on Pet Life Radio in a while. I want to see you live. There's no excuse because I get to see you with your pet, ask questions, free advice. And of course, if any of you want free or advice and you can't get a hold of the emergency clinic because there's an 8-hour wait and just to walk in the door, it's $3,000. Go on, download AirVet, and one of our AirVet doctors can help you out. In most of the cases, over 90% can probably save you from having to go to emergency in the first place. So it's worth it, and give it a shot. All right. Otherwise, next week, I'll be here. Mark, you're here next week. Okay. Next week, same bat time, same bat channel, here on Pet Life Radio, here on Instagram Live. And during the week, if you want to get a hold of me, you know how to do it. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy your today and tomorrow. And please be safe, safe, safe with your dogs. Make sure they're fenced in, especially if you have a lot of company over. Sometimes they freak out and they may want to try to bolt. And if you have a pool and you're swimming with everybody, make sure to watch your dogs as well as the little tiny ones, the kids. And other than that, be careful with the foods, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.